I'm Makini Smith. After going through a divorce, my sister passing away, experiencing narcissistic abuse, and some significant health scares, I realized through sharing my story that I wasn't alone in my suffering. Suffering, subjective distress generated by the experience of being out of balance. In a deep dive to holistically heal mind, body, and soul is where I discovered peace, clarity, and connection. It is impossible to be truly wise without some real-life hardship, and we cannot develop post-traumatic wisdom without making it through, and most importantly, through it together. Social connection builds resilience, and resilience helps create post-traumatic wisdom, and that wisdom leads to hope. Hope for you and others witnessing and participating in your healing, and hope for your community. A healthy community is a healing community, and a healing community is full of hope because it has seen its own people weather, survive, and thrive. Today's episode is brought to you by Herbal Face Food at herbalfacefood.com. You can use the code MAKINI20 or MAKINI30 for 30% off. So we have some extraordinary news that will elevate your game and help you unlock radiant, youthful skin. Along with the code MAKINI20 or MAKINI30 being 30% off, which is recently upgraded from the 20% off, they have launched an exclusive 30-day bundle. These products come in a 30-day intro kit that gives you the essential products for a one-month routine. So when you use the code MAKINI30, you can get the bundle for $199 USD. For our existing customers, we encourage you to sign up for a subscription so you can lock in that $199 price for each month, saving you almost $90 every month. Now, back to our regular programming. I had taken some time off to dig deeper into my own healing, to rest, to calm my nervous system, despite the chaos happening around me daily. And it's been a few months. When we recorded our last episode, I made the decision to take a time out. It had been 5+ years since I have been releasing weekly episodes of the podcast. And it's been quite the time. So I may have lost some listeners during the break. I know that I've definitely gained some new listeners while I was off, but I pray that this show attracts those that it's meant to heal. I needed to take a few months off to water me. And, you know, I talked about it in my Instagram stories a few times. You know, I'm watering me now. I am now a grandmother. I am in a healthy relationship. I am prioritizing peace. And I'm turning 44 this year. And I was like, you know, I spent majority of my life taking care of others, whether it be family, friends, clients, spouses, you name it. And I decided to go a little deeper on my healing journey the last few years and reached a point where I connected with a new therapist and weekly sessions. And every time I was being challenged, and rather than feeling overwhelmed, I decided to take a pause on certain things in my life that either were not priority or that were stressing me or were not a necessity in that moment. So I definitely missed you guys. I missed the conversations with our guest, but I decided as our very first episode back, as suggested by my therapist, starting the return of the Heal Her podcast to do a solo episode. So I had a session with my therapist recently where we discussed something that was triggering me. So a trigger is stimulus that causes a painful memory to resurface. A trigger can be any sensory reminder of the traumatic event. So it could be a sound, a sight, a smell, a physical sensation, or even a time of day or season. If you experienced a traumatic event, you probably remember certain sounds or smells or sights related to that experience. Now, when you encounter these sensory reminders, known as triggers, you may get a feeling of anxiety or unease or even panic. So, you know, even though the term triggered has become quite the buzzword, I just want to clear the air. It's essential to know the difference between feeling uneasy and facing a real mental health challenge or challenges for some of us. So when someone gets triggered, it means they're caught up in emotions from a past trauma or a mental health issue. Their reaction might not be what you expect it to be. It might seem over the top because they are mentally time traveling back to that challenging moment. So for example, for someone who felt ditched as a child, a simple unread text could stir up old feelings of abandonment and send them back to that time. And that trigger can have them spiraling. Those thoughts, those feelings can influence their actions, or basically a reaction that may not seem normal or just or make any sense to the average person. You know, whether it's a one-time event or a series of traumatic events, trauma affects each person differently. The same event could cause two people to respond entirely differently. While one person might reach a point of acceptance about an unsettling experience, the other person might develop PTSD, which stands for post-traumatic stress disorder. So while walking around with unhealed wounds and being triggered constantly, it is like walking around with a loaded gun, with your finger on the trigger. You know, our reactions can hurt people unintentionally. You know, we're triggered and we pull that trigger. And it causes, you know, a reaction, which in turn, there are consequences for, because it may not necessarily be a positive action or reaction that is taken. So our nervous system is, you know, constantly being triggered by everything that is happening in this world. You know, the pandemic had the world in a state of anxiety, you know, in addition to all of our other big T or even little T traumas that we may have experienced or are presently dealing with. So we need to explore ways to self-regulate. Some of us have experienced past traumas that have programmed our system away from, you know, connection, more sent us in a direction of protection. So in a state of protection, survival is the only goal. The system is closed to connection and change. Health, growth, and restoration are only possible in a state of connection, not protection. So back to my trigger. In March of 2022, I shared my story on the podcast about a past traumatic situation. It was a relationship that I had with someone that I didn't realize how toxic it was until the relationship ended. So the episode that I recorded in detail about this situation, it's titled Swindled by Deception and Fraud. Long story short, I broke down from how this person basically stalked me for 2 years before connecting with me, knowing what I wanted, what I was looking for, pretended to be that person, fabricated who they were and stories about their life, and basically got me to let my guard down, to trust them very quickly. And they were able to move into my home, move into my finances, move into my bank account, my credit card, until I was left emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually bankrupt. So after this happened, I stayed quiet for a very long time. I had to process what had happened to me. And I was in a state of protection for sure. I was in survival mode. I was not okay. And I was forced to look at every single relationship around me, family, friends, past relationships, and realized some things, which I may get into later on in this episode, or maybe I'll have to do a part two. But anyway, after I shared that episode, not only was that, I believe that's our most listened to episode in 5 years, but that also led to interviews and features all over the globe. I had journalists reaching out from the UK. I did a lot of TV interviews, you know, print interviews, all kinds of interviews all across North America. So it stemmed from me being triggered from watching the Netflix documentary, The Tinder Swindler. And long story short, I had my own Toronto version of that. But anyway, many people reached out after the fact to express their previous concerns or experiences of being taken advantage of by this individual. Friends that I've known for years, you know, people that I went to elementary school with, people that I went to church with, people that I thought I had a genuine connection with, people that I deeply loved, didn't feel the need, and we'll unpack that some more, but didn't feel the need to notify me that I was with someone whose integrity was questionable, that I was with someone who had a pattern of manipulating women, that I was with someone that had taken advantage of many women for multiple thousands of dollars on many occasions, that they were aware of, and that some people even knew multiple women that he had done this to and said nothing to me, but felt the need to share with me after the fact that they had warned him not to do the same to me. Let that sink in. So he got the courtesy. He got a disclaimer. And I did not. So since then, you know, many people have reached out asking for more details or even receipts to confirm or to further expose or eliminate further harm to people that they know that are in connection with this individual. And I strongly believe that our stories may be about us, but they're not only for us. Our stories are blueprints. Our stories are guiding lights. Our stories are the North Star for a lot of people. Our stories are toolboxes to help other people get through their adversity, to help other people not fall into the same pitfalls that we have, you know, to be basically mentors to people we've never met. And I really learned that through publishing my first book, A Walk in My Stilettos, where women all over the globe, Australia, the UK, Asia, the Caribbean, all reached out to let me know how my story felt like their story. So I don't ever have a problem sharing my story because I know that my testimony will help another person. And, you know, I have to, how do I say this? I feel if I am able to protect or save one more person from experiencing something negative that I have experienced, I will assist. And it's never with the intention of payback or malice to the person that did the harm. But I also strongly believe in when we don't speak up, who are we saving and who are we hurting? So, you know, since people have reached out for the receipts and the details, you know, I feel like I have to warn and protect all the present individuals that this person is dating. And I will never reach out to these people and directly insert myself. But if someone comes to me for support because of the situation, I am definitely open to helping. I know through my own healing, through therapy, through all of these things, and I have never done them because I felt like I knew better beforehand, but it's not my place to reach out to people and, you know, say certain things if I don't know them, especially because this particular character of people, they have already gone ahead and told lies to make it look like they are the victim, to make it look like all of their past partners are crazy, to change the perception and to harm the character of those that they've already hurt. But if someone does come to me asking for receipts or details, I'm an open book. So I have directed many women to Facebook groups where other women have posted this individual's photo questioning his character based on their own interactions, you know, all in an effort to pay it forward so another woman doesn't have to experience the trauma that I did. So recently, someone reached out to verify this individual's behavior to warn a woman that is presently dating him. And I directed her to the Facebook groups. There are some groups on Facebook called, Are We Dating the Same Guy? And I am not in this group, nor have I ever tried to join this group, but I have been notified of my ex's image being posted on more than one occasion inside of this group, knowing he already lives with another woman. But anyhow, I was triggered for a few days after being asked to help yet another woman when I did not receive help when I was in that relationship with him for 2 years. So my therapist and I began to unpack why. Now, I'll be honest, I was hurt, angry, sad, because I didn't have anyone warn me to save me from the experience. I felt resentful towards people that I knew that were aware and didn't show me the same level of concern. And it sent me spiraling because I started to ask myself, okay, is it me? Is it that they don't like me? Is it that they have malicious intent towards me? Is it that someone turned them against me? Is it because they don't think that I deserve that level of concern? It sent me down a route that I don't like to go down. I'm a very reflective person, but to self-sabotage and inflict self-harm emotionally is not something that I like to do. I mean, I feel like I have worked my way away from that with all the work that I have done on myself, with all the work that I have done to help others. But I was definitely feeling resentful. So resentment is a feeling of anger because you've been forced to accept something that you do not like. It can also mean being annoyed or irritated by someone or something. So here's three tips that I can give you to overcome resentment. One, reflect on the reasons behind the occurrence. Two, give yourself a moment to feel the sting, to process what you're feeling. And three, try to let it go and forgive. I'm going to let that sit for a second. Try to let it go and forgive. I know that's easier said than done. There's a quote by St. Augustine that says, resentment is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Think about that. Resentment is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. We are hurting ourselves when we hold on to resentment. We are hurting ourselves when we don't forgive. And we're going to get into forgiveness in a second, but I just want you to think about that. So, what can you do if you are triggered? So, one thing you can do if you are triggered is to try to have perspective. You know, as soon as you feel triggered, try to take a bird's eye view of the situation. Recognize where these intense feelings are coming from, likely not from the trigger itself, but from a previous traumatic experience. So my therapist asked me to think about the people that I felt who had wronged me for not saying anything to warn me. She asked me to think about the possible reasons why they didn't warn me. You know, what possible reasons could they have that have nothing to do with me that could have prevented them from saying anything? You know, not knowing if I would believe them, not knowing or even wanting to involve themselves in a situation or drama, you know, any fears that they may have of the unknown, of what could happen. You know, she asked me to think about their trauma response, or childhood wounds that would prevent them from speaking up. She asked me to reflect on whether the act was due to malicious intent or circumstances in the offender's life. You know, there are different trauma responses. Our fight or flight response, you know, how we respond to a situation based on our past, based on the past things that we've experienced. There are 4 trauma responses. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. There is flight, there is fight, there is freeze, and there is fawn. There is a previous episode where I broke down the explanations of all the trauma responses, and I'll save that for another episode. But basically, you know, we all have a way that we respond to trauma. That is our programming of how we are conditioned. So another thing that you can do if you are triggered is to remind yourself that you are safe. You know, try taking a slow, deep breath and remind yourself that you are safe now. You can repeat a mantra in your head if that's helpful for you. You know, you might remind yourself, I am safe and this is not then. You know, as I said at the beginning of the episode, I am now in a healthy relationship and it's been 2.5 years. So when I'm triggered by something that happened in a past relationship that was toxic or abusive or traumatic, reminding myself that I am safe now, that I am with someone that my emotions are safe with, that my body is safe with. That, you know, when we tell ourselves the truth, there's a chemical reaction that happens and we feel it in our body. Same thing happens when we tell a lie. But in that moment, you know, reminding yourself that you are safe, if that is your situation. Another thing that you can do if you are triggered is practice self-compassion and acceptance as much as you can. You know, try not to get irritated with yourself for even having these feelings. You know, direct compassion towards yourself as you would a close loved one. You know, I had a girlfriend once say to me, you know, I wish you would give yourself as much grace as you give other people. Anyone that knows me, and when I say knows me, I mean has my phone number, can sit down with me, that I will answer their phone call, you know, that we have an intimate relationship, family, friend, they know the amount of grace and compassion and empathy that I give for the people around me and the people that are assigned to me. So when my friend said that to me, like, I wish you would have as much grace for yourself as you give to other people, I try to ask myself that when I am frustrated. So, you know, my therapist asked me to work on forgiveness this week. And I'm not against forgiveness. I have forgiven many people who probably didn't, I want to say, deserve it, but forgiveness isn't about them. It isn't for them. It is for and about me. That energy, it is to take my power back and to not allow the heaviness, not to allow the control of my emotions to be taken by someone else. So from a psychological perspective, forgiveness involves a deliberate and voluntary process where an individual initially feeling victimized or wronged undergoes a shift in emotions and mindset towards the offender. This transformation helps overcome the offense's effects, including negative feelings like resentment and the urge for retaliation. So forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting or excusing the harm that has been done to you. It doesn't even necessarily mean making up with the person who caused you the damage. Forgiveness brings peace that lets you focus on yourself and helps you go on with your life. Forgiveness is a secret sauce for inner power and waving goodbye to grudges. So I know a few people that refuse to forgive. I don't want to say lump everyone into the term abuser, because some of these people, especially if you were, you know, sexually abused or physically abused, you don't have to forgive. But when we work on forgiveness, it is about letting go of the heaviness, the heavy emotions, the negativity, sometimes the things that are causing us the spiritual blockages. So there are benefits to forgiving someone. You know, letting go of grudges and bitterness can make way for improved health and peace of mind. And that's what the show is about. It's about healing. You know, forgiveness can lead to healthier relationships, improved mental health, less anxiety and stress and hostility, you know, fewer symptoms of depression, lower blood pressure, a stronger immune system, improved heart health, improved self-esteem. The list goes on and on and on. Now, I've had to break this down to a few people before, and I believe I've done it on the podcast, but it's like, there are levels of forgiveness. You know, it's not like you forgive someone and you forget completely what they did and you guys are best buddies all over again. There are levels to this. So, you know, there's zero forgiveness, where there's basically no resolution. You are stuck in your anger. There's conditional forgiveness. So it's like, if they apologize, you know, there's a transactional forgiveness. You'll forgive them if they say sorry, if they hold themselves accountable. There is transformational forgiveness, where there's no expectation and no apologies needed. And there's unconditional forgiveness. And that's like the type of forgiveness that parents have with their children. So I feel like in the scenario where I have to look at the people who have, that I felt wronged me for not informing me or trying to protect me or save me from the amount of trauma that I experienced and working through my PTSD, I'm in a place of working on transformational forgiveness. I have no expectation from them. I don't need an apology from them. I in a place of working on letting go of being resentful for not feeling protected, because that also stems from my childhood wounds and childhood traumas of not feeling safe, of not feeling at peace, of feeling abandoned. So as I'm working on my own healing, I can give grace to others and know that they may not have even started on their healing journey. So how they react and respond to things, I may not agree with, I may not like, I may be hurt or angered by it, but having enough understanding that I can let it go and forgive, because forgiveness is good for everyone. It's good for the giver and it's good for the receiver. You know, it's forgiveness isn't about handing out pardons like Oprah or pretending that everything is peachy. It's not bottling up your feelings or hitting the delete button on your memory. And it's not even for show. You know, it's not for someone else's entertainment either. I can forgive these people. I don't need to directly speak to them. I don't even need to speak to them ever again in life. But I can forgive them. You know, have you ever, you know, wondered about the dark side of holding on to grudges? You know, how that can impact you. If you are stuck in the grudge game, You know, you could end up dragging around a storm of cloud of anger and bitterness that rains on not only your parade, but everyone around you. You know, you could get so stuck in the past that you miss out on the present. You miss out on the joy and the fun happening in your life presently. You know, it's like diving into a pool of gloom with depression and irritability and anxiety all the time. It's like feeling like your grudges are clashing with your inner zen. You know, it's missing out on beautiful bonds and friendships that could add up to serious sparkle in your life. And I would never want to block myself from that. There's a quote from Desmond Tutu, human rights activist, that says, "Forgiveness is simply about understanding that every one of us is both inherently good and inherently flawed." So when life throws you for a loop, it's time to whip out your self-care toolbox and show those emotions who's boss. So take a breather. You know, even if you go outside, go for a walk in nature, like I love to do, to ground yourself, you know, tune into your senses. You know, do you need a pick-me-up? You know, there are some activities that you could dive into to light up your soul. You know, turn on some music, take a stroll, have a heart-to-heart with another healthy connection, someone that you love, someone that you trust, someone that you feel safe with. You know, pour your heart out into a journal, dip your toes into some mindfulness, you know, untangle those feelings. And if specific triggers just won't go away, there's therapists out there always open to helping you crack that code. I am grateful that I have the luxury of going to therapy every week. I am grateful that I have a healthy partner, that I have someone who is emotionally available to me, that makes me feel seen, heard, and understood. It's important that we seek out experts to help us find the solutions that we need in our life. You know, a lot of us are like saying, yeah, I'm trying and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. The problem is that if you could do it alone, you would have by now. But we are not meant to do it alone because we're wired for connection. Your mental health is the star of the show. So don't hesitate to reach out to a therapist and give your mental health the spotlight that it deserves. Letting go of grudges is like hitting the reset button on your well-being. Forgiveness is the key to unlocking a world of mental, physical, and social benefits. Sure, forgiving isn't a walk in the park, but the peace and closure it brings are like winning a mental marathon. So if you're struggling to navigate through the pain, I definitely recommend that you reach out to a therapist. I found my therapist by going on Psychology Today, and you can punch in your area. You can punch in if you're looking for male or female or woman of color, or whatever it is that you're looking for, and find a therapist in your area. It also lets you know if they're doing in-person or online sessions. But therapists are like emotional explorer guides, helping you untangle knots and find forgiveness, whether it's for others or even for yourself. I just want to thank you for taking the time to listen to Heal Her podcast. If you have been a long-time listener, I want you to know how much I appreciate you. It's not easy putting out an episode every week. It's not easy finding guests every week and doing a show that focuses on our holistic healing journey, as I am on mine, is not always easy to show up. But I do my best to show up for you guys every week because I know, because I hear it, because I get the DMs on Instagram, because I get the emails, that when I am transparently and authentically sharing my healing journey, that it empowers you to do the same. So to all of you healers out there, until next time, subscribe on all platforms. Don't forget to rate the show and leave us a review on Apple Podcast. I just want to thank each and every one of you that listens each week to help the show rank globally in the top 1.5% of most popular podcasts. And there's over 3 million podcasts out there. Feel free to grab one of my personal development books available online everywhere. There are presently 5 books available. But I want to challenge you to share this episode with 3 friends. 3 friends, 3 family members that you think would receive value from today's show, that you think needs a little reminder about how to forgive, letting go of their resentment, how to handle their triggers. Feel free to screenshot this week's episode and tag me on Instagram with your aha moment. I love seeing your tags. You can tag me at The Real Nakini Smith. A healthy community is a healing community, and a healing community is full of hope because it has seen its own people weather, survive, and thrive. So let's continue to heal her.